to Relationship Psych, the podcast, helping you design the relationship you want. With couples therapy costing a pretty penny, Relationship Psych gives you access to couples therapy insights without spending a dime. Tune in for discussions on communication, managing conflict, recovering from infidelity, attachment, and more. I'm your host, Amber Dawson. I'm a psychologist and couples therapist. A few of my favorite things are my husband, grapes, and my adorable little dog, Riggs. Simply by listening, you're going to get tools to help you and your partner create a loving and harmonious relationship that can withstand the test of time. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be misconstrued for specific relationship advice. For advice for your specific relationship, seek out a local couples therapist in your area. Welcome back to Relationship Psych, the podcast. Today we have with us a physician, intuitive guide, and relationship coach, Dr. Veronica Anderson. She's the best-selling author of 4 books, including Get the Respect You Deserve, 7 Secrets to Getting Seen and Heard in Your Job and Relationships. Dr. Veronica transitioned from her private practice as an eye surgeon to a spiritual guide and transformational coach. What a cool transition. Super cool transition. During her individual and group programs to help clients overcome strange, rare, and peculiar issues. I had a hard time reading the word. Using her skills as an intuitive and her signature respect program method, Dr. Veronica guides high-achieving professional women for how to make successful career, health, and relationship transitions by learning the process to become their beautiful, authentic selves. And don't we all want that? She uses tools like the Psych Intuitive Energy Readings, the Kolbe Index, the Human Design to help people deeply understand their spiritual instincts, nature, intuition, and how to use them to get what they want in their careers and romance. So excited for this conversation. So excited to learn from you. There's so much here I don't know anything about. So welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Amber. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm glad that we're going down a new pathway because that's what it's about. You cannot grow until you have awareness of certain things. So here I am to bring awareness to you and your audience for tools they can use to improve their all kinds of relationships, their work relationships, their romantic relationships, and just everything, because that's what these tools can be used for.
Fantastic. Well, I'm stoked to learn about them. So what made you decide to transition from an eye surgeon to being a spiritual guide and transformational coach?
It's just interesting question. You're like, that's a weird career trajectory. So I tell people the story about when I was back practicing as an ophthalmologist. I was an eye surgeon. You never lose the title and the training that you already have, but that's not what I'm doing full-time on a daily basis anymore. But when I was back as an eye surgeon, I decided I wanted to help people. And I ended up getting cast as a guest on a national TV show that was very well known as my very first television interview. And I was cast. And now think about it. I'm still in practice as an ophthalmologist, but I was cast as a relationship expert. And that's what I was talking about. And it was compelling enough. So for years, even before I was formally doing it to help people professionally, it was something that was of interest to me. And I was talking about it, educated, and it was interesting enough to people who do TV stuff to invite me on. So why did I leave medicine? Because I burnt out, and in my opinion, my type, and we'll talk a little bit about these types, my spiritual type, I burnt out, and it sucks to be a doctor, and I'm not supposed to be a worker. I'm supposed to be a beer and a wise guide, and we'll talk about how people can know that, because it's important to know who you are, to show up in the relationship so that you get what you want. And the reason why people don't get what they want is because they don't know who they are. And so they're attracting the wrong thing because they don't know who they are. They're not clear about who they are. So then you attract something that you think you don't want, but your energy actually attracted.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so interesting that the universe places you on the show as a relationship expert. That's not what you're doing. At that time, it sounds like it was compelling enough for you and doors continue to open. And then at some point in your life, you're burnt out enough that you're looking for a change and it felt aligned to go in that new direction.
Yes. And I had my own practice with double digit thousands of patients, other doctors working for me, I was married to somebody else. I'm in my second marriage now. And my goal is to keep this working the way it's supposed to, which is why I've done a lot of work, right? You want to be like, okay, I messed up over there. Now, how do I do it better the next time?
Yeah.
I got to misery one day in a life that everybody else would envy. I mean, everything you say you want from a physical perspective, I had in that life. And yet I wasn't happy because I wasn't being and doing what I was supposed to be and do. Mm. And you have to, at first you want to cast blame on everybody else. But one day I was reading a book. The book is called Real Love. And in the book, they said, if you're unhappy, it's you who's the problem. And I knew that that was the answer. I knew it wasn't. Now I could point out everything that was wrong with everything else. And just like everybody does, everybody here who's listened to the relationship, of course you don't think it's you, but guess what? You're the common person in the relationship. It is you. Until you can come to that realization, you cannot move anywhere. So I came up with, much later down the line, the respect method, which the R is for reflect and take radical responsibility. So the first thing you're going to do to fix your relationship is you're going to reflect on where you are and what your part is in it if it's not going the way you want to. You just got to be radically honest with yourself that you have created everything you have in your life, whether you like it or not. So I meet a lot of women who are very successful in their professional life and their personal life is crappy. And they don't want to, they want to talk about how they're picky and everybody else. And, you know, all the excuse, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm not the right, you know, ethnicity or whatever. And that's all just bull. You have created what you created. You can create that wonderful, everything you want on one side. What do you think? Everything else just happened to you randomly? No, that is not the way the universe works. You create everything, even when you're doing it unconsciously. And so the purpose of learning and coaching with someone like me is to get conscious that you created it, admit it, because once you know where you are, it's like a GPS system. You got to know where you're starting before you can know where to set out to go. So if you don't know where you're starting, you're not clear on where you're starting, then you're not going to know what to put in as the coordinates and where to go.
Mm. So like, could an example of something like this be, I'm trying to think, I'm on my second marriage as well. And in my first marriage, I could have said at the time that the problem, one of the problems with my ex-partner was their substance use. But would it be like part of the radical responsibility was I chose that when I got to know that partner, they were drinking heavily. When I chose to walk down the aisle to that person, they were drinking heavily. And so would that be part of my radical responsibility there to look at the situation, which wasn't my fault he was drinking, but I stayed in that situation.
There you go. Okay. Because you saw it. You saw it and you choose to continue. And right. So it's like, I found this cartoon once where there was a bull and a woman, you know, the woman was the bull and they had the matador and the bull was saying, I'm so attracted to your red flags. I mean, a lot of times there's different types of people who enjoy rescuing other people and think that's what they can do. And they're so wonderful that they're going to be able to change them. Or, you know, they'll get in the marriage and they'll grow up. And this is just a childish thing or whatever it is that you lie to yourself about. Because if you really admit it, you knew, but you just, and other people knew too. There were probably other people who saw it and mentioned it to you and you didn't like them. I mean, right? I mean, everybody else can see this, but it's hard for us to see ourselves. And here's the thing. This is not about like blame, like you did it, you did it, you did it. It's getting you in a place to realize that you have the power to be able to go a different direction, but you have to understand how did you get that particular way? Why were you attracted to this person who had this big problem that is not going to get smaller? Think about it. If you were in a relationship and you liked it when you were early in a relationship and dealt with it early in the relationship, that's only going to get worse, which mm-hmm. is that what happened? Did it get worse? Because that's usually what happens. They usually don't get better.
Well, I'm not sure if it got worse or stayed the same and the impact on me got worse. I don't know. Got more noticeable. Maybe there's too many love drugs and pheromones and all the, you know, early ignoring of red flags that happened at the beginning to say, was it worse? I'm not sure if it was worse or the same. Just I noticed it more. I don't know. Hard to quantify.
Fair enough. But let's talk about a little bit how you get where you get. And this is where I talk to people about the three I's.
Yes. So
to be able to figure out how you are built, you have to know some basic things about just human beings, anatomy, all these things are out there. And now we have the internet, so everybody thinks they can teach themselves. But when you get all the five million results on Google, how do you know what to pay attention to and then what to do with it and how to implement something in your life? So yeah. I'm going to tell you, here are the three I's that you first have to consider. Number one, imprinting. Number two, instinct. Number three, intuition. Now, imprinting is something that we all go through between, let's say, the ages of zero, and I would say, you know, even before zero, because in utero, these things are happening, through about the age seven. Some people say up to 11. And this is the time where, think about your mind, we talk about conscious and subconscious. This is the time of life where you're basically a subconscious mind. You're not thinking a lot for yourself. So what is happening is everything that's going on around you is just sinking into your subconscious mind, right? So who your mom is, who your dad is, or who's taking care of you, everything that's going on around you is just getting into you. So what happens is because of that, there's going to be situations, people that are going to feel familiar, even if they're dysfunctional. So that could be a mother or a father or a sibling or a grandparent or a teacher. So this time in life is the time where you're in just a big impression. And so you're drawing in all of this. So a lot of what you are attracted to in relationships has to do with this imprinting. You may be more drawn towards somebody's, let's call it energy, but we'll talk more about that later, because they feel familiar. And so it may be that somebody in your family who you liked or loved or something else had these type of cues that your former husband had. And so it felt really good and familiar, even though from your logical mind, you could see something was wrong. It felt so good to you. And then you're calling it pheromones and all these other things. But that's usually the imprinting. It usually feels familiar to you. And somebody who didn't have that is going to feel very foreign, even though in your logical mind, you know, that person over there is good for me. You're going to think probably they're boring and they're not exciting and everything like that, because this imprinting is so strong. We want to be with what feels good, because this is how we told danger from not danger early on, right? Think about how early humans, we still have these reflexes happening where you have to figure out danger from not danger. And not danger, you're when your family circle that feels good, and anything that doesn't feel like that, you're going to see as danger, and it's just not going to feel right to you.
Right.
So that's how imprinting works on a, now I'm going to tell you, for somebody out there who is what's called a fact finder, who wants more data, I didn't give you enough. Now you can go to ChatGPT, you can go to Bard, you can go to all this and look at imprinting and all the studies on it, and then learn more about imprinting. But what the purpose is, you just know that there's this effect on your life way before you're having any say in who you are, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything else is shaping who you are and what you like, okay? Everything else is telling you what to think and feel, and you're watching reactions all around you, and how you're learning is from everybody else, and you're not making any choices, okay?
Right.
Imprinting. Well, next, there's instinct. So I'm going to explain it this way with instinct, because this is part of your mind, which is that amorphous mind thing, and your brain. It actually anatomically has a space of brain. So the brain is made up of three parts: your cognitive brain, your affective brain and what's called your conative brain, which is what we've never heard of mostly. Cognitive, thinking and reasoning, IQ, intelligence. It's what Western culture celebrates. When people say you're smart, that's what it means. You have a really strong or measured high IQ cognitive brain. It's worshipped in our culture and society. That's only one third of your brain. The next third is your affective brain. That's where your emotions sit. And think about intelligence being very different from your emotions. So your emotions is your personality and, you know, how you quote unquote feel about something. And a lot of times that personality, many people who've listened, I'm sure have had like a DISC or an Enneagram or one of those. Those are all affective assessments for that part of the nine, emotion, feeling. The third part of the brain is doing. How do you actually take action? When free and left to do things naturally the way you would do them with nobody interfering and you're striving to do your best, how would you do? That part of the brain is called conative, and that's where the Kolbe index comes in. So the Kolbe index is wonderful because it checks how you are and how you do. Now, you haven't had a chance to do this yet, and we're going to do one for you so that you can see what it is. But there's basically, you can spread out, and I'm going to give a very simplistic overview of that. It's a lot deeper than this, but it can be rated into what's your longest line on a Kolbe, right? So there's one person called a fact finder. And that's why I said, for people who are fact finders, they're going to think, I am not giving enough information. She's going too fast. What about this? What about that? So somebody who's a fact finder, it's how they find information out. So somebody who's a fact finder, they're going to get data. Now you may know someone like this. And if they're in a work environment and they're a researcher or an engineer or something like that, that data is loved. But think about somebody like this in a relationship. They may be slow to pull the trigger in the relationship because they seem like they need a long time to get to know you. They want more data. Now, they may spring into action for other reasons, like, you know, the hormones and the things like that, but they're always going to be looking for data. Now, one of the problems of looking for data all the time, and you know this, is you get what's called confirmation bias, where whatever you think it is, you're going to find.
Right.
Especially in the world of search engines, where the more you search for one thing, the more it gives you that same thing. So people say they're doing research and they believe it's unbiased, except what happens is the more you research one way, the more biased you become because it keeps giving you that bias as opposed to another side of things. So fact finders, we definitely need them to learn to get real facts about things, but just know that sometimes facts are not facts and a fact finder can be wrong, okay? But we love them because they're the people that go out and research and get the information for us, number one. Number two is called a follow through. And this is somebody about the way you organize information. This is the organizational person. They like systems. You might walk into somebody like this and they have a very well-organized system, but you'll notice how they do everything has a definite process. So a lot of times people like that are very good at being like masters of ceremony, maybe even, you know, being on a podcast host with multiple guests. Somebody who's a follow-through would be absolutely great at that because they just have it all set and organized. Right. The third type of person is called a quick start. And that's just what it sounds like. A quick start is the innovator, the risk taker. It's how do they deal with new things and take action? They're going to innovate. OK, so I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, I am what's called a quick start. On a scale from 1 to 10, I'm a 9.
And
so what happens is I'm going to think quick on my feet. I'm like, why did I say before? I said, ask me anything. I could deal with it because that's my instinct. Right. It's how I'm wired and built. Now, somebody who's a fact finder would never say that to you because they would never want to answer a question without having the research done. So if you go off the script with somebody who's a fact finder, there's going to be silence. There's going to be deer in the headlights. But a quick start is going to jump off the ledge and then say, oh, wait, maybe I should have thought about something. Now, remember, there's a counter to all this. On the other side of somebody like a quick start is somebody who keeps things more restored and the same. Like, I'm going to want to throw out everything and start anew. There has to be people on the other end who keep what's good. So what I'm saying is on both sides of all these that I've told you about, there's the other side or the middle that balances all out.
Right.
And the last one is called an implementer. Not a lot of people have the really high scores in this, but the implementer is, this is how you deal with tangible space and items. They're the people who actually get things built. The rest of us have it in our head and we're thinking about it. It's the implementer who actually ends up getting it done. Okay. So how does this play out in the workplace? Well, when you're building teams, you want to make sure you have all types on your team. You do not want all fact finders because you will have analysis paralysis. You do not want all quick starts because they'll never get past the idea phase. They'll keep coming up with a new idea stage. The follow-throughs are going to get hung up because the process is not right. So you have to have all the people on these different cognitive strengths on a team together so that you actually move forward and build high performing teams. And there's been a lot of research on this done and shown that when you have what's called cognitive diversity, everybody's talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We need cognitive diversity more than anything in the workplace. Seriously, cognitive diversity, where we have people doing things a different way so that we can have the highest performing teams as possible. How does this play out in the relationship? Well, by and large, when you ask corporations who've had Colby indexes how it's impacted them the most, they will say, it's impacted me most at home. Because now I realize why I'm like I am. And I'm not crazy for being this way. People would tell me that I'm impulsive, or people would tell me I'm always in the weeds. Now I feel good because I know that's how I'm built. My brain's like that. But it's even better because now I know what my kids are. I know what my spouse is. And where we're having conflict, we understand why the other person thinks and feels that way. So then we can come to some kind of resolution. Mm-hmm. So now for those who are in a relationship, they're like, oh, I'd love to have the test, but my partner would never do it. What you need to understand is you have it and then you understand who you are. But then acknowledge that everybody else is not like you. I do a lot of Colbys, and I met one person that had my exact Colby, but people may be near and everybody's all over the place. You don't know what people are going to be. You can't guess. A lot of people, when I tell them I'm a quick start, they say, yeah, I could have guessed that. Well, yeah, you know me for 10 minutes. You probably will guess when I tell you the different types I'm a quick start. And after I'm around somebody for a while, I can usually say, they're a fact finder, or they're a follow through, or I wonder if they're high on the implementation score. We need them, right? Mm. So this is about, we can do comparisons, which are called, it's a Colby A. We can go an A to A comparison. So we can see how people look as a couple, but we can also see how they look as a working team. Also, my husband and I work together, and what we think about as a couple and what has conflict in the couple. When you look at us as a team, when we're working together, we definitely need to bring other people on our team because there's 12 areas and 6 of them we got covered, 6 of them are uncovered. So if we just, me and him work together, we're not going to have enough cognitive diversity to be really successful.
Hmm.
Okay. So there's just a lot of utility in that. And that's, again, it's your instinct. It's your MO. It is part of your brain. It is not going to change. You aren't going to change. That person across from you is not going to change. They were born that way. Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that's exciting for people who love to delve down into research and everything like that. Kathy Colby, her father was the founder of one of the famous intelligence tests, and she saw something was missing when she was watching all these people in research. And she said, how do I see people with high IQs and they flounder, and people who have lower IQs and they seem like they're really thriving? What's going on? And this is how she started researching this and came up with it, and then went with, you know, the Harvard researchers and everybody else who validates this type of stuff. And that's where Colby came from. She can even now test this in infants and show that this shows up really, it's very early. It's there from the beginning, and it doesn't change. So, wow.
So it's stable over the lifetime.
Stable over life. The time that it will change is sometimes people try to be something that they're not and trick the test. Now, sometimes when people are trying to trick the test, they're in what's called transition. So the test will realize there's something not right about the section and put an absence there. But some people can like fake it and pick the answers as if, and they're not picking them real selves. That doesn't behoove you, because a lot of people think they want to be a quick start. And I can tell you, as a quick start and with a high quick start and a low follow through, there are holes. Let me just tell you how people need people. I can't do it all by myself. People need people. Everybody's like that. People need people. So don't try to go it alone, right? Your spouse is there for a reason. Figure out how they maximize, what areas they can maximize and what areas you can maximize, and go on it that way. But just you knowing, even if you're in a difficult situation, just you knowing how you're built. Okay, I was imprinted. All right, I was born with these instincts. Gives you a lot of data about you, because this is, you only can change you, right? You only can go on your own journey.
Mm-hmm.
So now the really deep part about this, and I put it in a category called intuition, is what is your spiritual makeup? And when people say you have good energy and bad energy, and I just, you know, there's these, I'm magnetized towards this person. Well, that would be true. So when you talk about spiritual DNA, I like to use human design for that, because it's just so easy to show people with the charts. And I'm going to stay very high level in this and be more simplistic, because it lends itself to that versus a lot of the other energetic systems that you just are hard to understand, just for, you know, a lay person looking at it. So in human design, it's an energetic system, which, let me just tell you, one part of it, 2015, the quantum neutrino physics part won a Nobel Prize in 2015. So when this was founded back in 1987, and Ra, spiritual transformation, he had another name before that, spiritual transformation, got downloads from the universe, became Ra, was talking about how these neutrinos affect people and make them who they are from a spiritual state and put them on a particular life path and life journey. So quantum neutrino physics, natal chart in astrology, Kabbalah, I Ching, chakra system, you take those five things, you give it to a man who has a download about it and visions, and somehow he came up with a system that is just so very accurate that when I look at people's charts and say, well, you're this, that, and the other thing, this is, and tell them very little, they're like, yeah, how did you know? What's going on here? And that's why I think it's one of the beautiful systems that we have now. And it's not fully researched. So it is a spiritual system and tool, not fully researched. But if you like that area and you feel like it has validity, there's that amorphous substance out there that we don't know what it is, with things that we can't explain. Human design will explain a lot of it. So big picture, there are five types. And we can break those five types into the two categories. There are energy types and non-energy types. The energy types are 70% of the population. They have what's called a defined sacral center, and that's an energy center, the vital life force center. And they are called either generators or manifesting generators. These are the people who get the work done in our society. The generators are meant to work. And when they are doing their work that they're supposed to be doing, they can do it endlessly because they have endless energy. So I don't know if you're like this or you know somebody that's like this. These are people that when they're in their flow, they can almost go without sleep. Now, my husband is a type of generator, so I've seen this. He'll start something and once he starts it, he will not stop until he's finished. And it doesn't matter if he goes through the night and starts to get light the next day, he's going to feel energized until it's done. That's how generators can work, all right? And things get done. Now, there's another type, this is really my husband's type, called a manifesting generator. This is the power chart. I mean, every time I see a manifesting generator, I'm like, this is the power chart. What does it mean to manifest? Everybody thinks they want to be a manifester. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're not one of these types, you cannot manifest what you want in life. So if you see your chart and you're not a manifester, do not flip out, okay? Because by learning your type, I can show you what to use in your spiritual DNA to manifest what you want. It's just about knowing some different things. But the people who can manifest without anybody else's help are manifesting generators, because they can initiate action and do the work. They don't need anybody else, okay? And I'm going to tell you a few famous manifesting generators that everybody in America will know.
These people
are like the Pied Pipers. And you're going to be like, why don't people follow them and love them so much? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are both manifesting generators. And you can see how they can just lead people. And you're like, what are they doing? It's their energy. It's their spiritual design. They're meant to be like that and do like that. They're meant to initiate action and be able to do the work. That's a manifesting generator. And I like to use them as examples because you're just like, well, they got to be. Now, there's other elements of their charts, obviously, that are very spiritually different, right? But when we're talking about the type, let me tell you about generators, because you're thinking work. I'm just supposed to work and I'm a generator. I don't want to be a generator, because I hear that all the time. Oprah and the Dalai Lama are generators. So you can't just look at a person and say, okay, they're the person that they're just, you know, putting the bricks together or something like that. There's so many other elements that go into it. So the energy types are 70% of the population, actually 68% of the population, but most of the world, which means that those people who are in those energy types are impressing upon everybody else that this is how you do things. And so if you're not part of those energy types, you're going to feel like the black sheep. It's one of the things I say, why do you feel like the black sheep? Some people feel like the black sheep. So let's talk about the non-energy types. And these are people who have undefined sacral motor centers. It doesn't mean that they are not going to work, or they can't work, or that they really don't have any kind of energy at all. It's not what we're talking about, but these are people who need to rest more. So they are called projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. And I'm going to go from the most rare to the more common, but realize when I'm going to the more common, there's still a small minority of the population. 1% of people are what are called reflectors. These are people who have no definition in their chart. They're just absorbing from the environment and they're mirroring back everything that's going on. So you can be around somebody that's a reflector and you might love them or hate them. You might hate them because a lot of times they're reflecting back something about you. And so if you get in with a relationship with somebody who's a reflector, it could be very intense if you don't have your act together,
right?
And know who you are, right? Because they're going to amplify everything about you. And so that could be a wonderful thing or not so wonderful thing. Now, in a work environment, people who are reflectors are wonderful because they can just play multiple roles. They're like a chameleon. So reflector, 1% of the population. These are people who we say need to wait a long time to make a decision because there's so many outward influences. They need to wait what we call a lunar cycle. So 28 to 30 days to make decisions. So they're going to be slower in making decisions. The next type is a manifester, and everybody thinks they want to be a manifester. They're only 8% of the population. These are people where they have a defined throat, but no defined sacral center, and a manifester can initiate action. And these are people who seem like they can go poof, they seem like magicians and things happen. And it's just amazing sometimes you're around somebody who's a manifester. You're like, yeah, I knew that they were that. Everything always, they always seem to get what they want.
Right.
They can initiate and things happen. Now, what is challenging about a manifester is just their natural aura tends to be more repulsive than attractive. And so they seem a lot of times like they can rub people the wrong way. They can be rude and abrupt. That's how a lot of times other people will perceive them. So yes, they can get things done, but sometimes they can bristle feathers. Well, for manifestors, how do you get around that? You use your defined throat and you tell people what's going on and what you're going to do. or what you're going to have people do, because a manifestor by definition without a defined sacral center is not meant to do the work. Okay. Get other people to do the work. Right. So these non-energy types, I'm telling you, like they're the people who burn out really quick. Okay. So the third non-energy type is called a projector. And surprise, I'm a projector. So I can talk deeply about it. And I tend to meet a lot of projectors. I attract projectors in my coaching. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, another protector. What do you attract? You attract what people who are energetically similar to you.
Right.
So I meet a good number of nine quick starts. I meet a good number of projectors, and I'm like, oh, wow. Now I know why you reached out to me, because you have projector energy and I do too. Right. So the projectors, and this is it's an interesting state of being, because the projectors are considered the wise guides, and they have to wait for invitation and recognition. They have to wait to be recognized and then invited to be the guide. So we are supposed to be the wise beings who know things, but my coach told me, you have to remember as a projector, don't cast your pearls before swine. You cannot open your mouth as a projector and volunteer or initiate. You have to wait to be recognized by other people. Hence, when I wanted to be on podcasts, I hired a company to pitch me. I didn't do it myself. All right. Why? Because my energy becomes repulsive rather than its normal magnetic when I initiate and try to do that. Why? I'm outside of my spiritual flow. It's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to wait to be invited. I'm supposed to wait to be recognized. All right. And that's the like a lot of projectors that if it's just people who are listening who are projectors, they say, well, how do I get recognized? Because the shadow side of this is you get very bitter because you feel like you're not seen and heard. Hence why I wrote my book. The subtitle is how to get seen and heard in your job and relationships. Well, how do you get seen and heard? One, you have to be who you are. And this is for everybody I'm talking to, not just projectors, but you have to be who you are. And if you need to stay in your type, and when you stay in your type, everybody's going to get recognized for who they are. But especially somebody who's like a projector, you cannot go out and run around and initiate. Well, how do you get recognized? You get introductions and referrals. Now, let's talk about this in a relationship that's very interesting, because I'm a projector in a relationship with a manifesting generator. He doesn't need anybody. He don't need me. Now, that's not totally true, because you energetically fit with somebody and you fill in things. We'll talk about that. But for people who turn out to be projectors, if I want to get the recognition of my manifesting generator or anybody else, I ask them a yes or no question. Would you like to hear what I have to think about that? So I ask for permission, and people's like, I'm a grown ass woman. Excuse me. You can edit that. Why do you have to ask for permission? Because that's the energy. So now what did I do also? Generator energy, sacral center responds to yes and no questions. So if you're out there and you're a therapist and you're doing motivational interviewing and wondering why it's not going so well, it's because 68% of the population are generators and they respond to yes, no questions, not open-ended questions. You'll get the deer in the headlights look a lot of times, or short answers, or the what's the wrong answer, off topic answer. When you ask a lot of times manifesting generators, those open-ended, how do you feel? What do you think questions? But if you lead them along with yes or no questions, you will get to where you need to be. So if you are a generator type, a generator, manifesting generator, to tap your intuition, this is very important, to tap your intuition, ask yourself a series of yes or no questions. And so you might look back, Amber, on your life, and it might have been saying no. You probably knew, like when you were with your former husband, you overrode the no. Mm-hmm. If you look back on it, you're going to be like, I knew it was a no, but I overrode it.
I can do that.
It's like that for all of us. When you know how to trust your intuition, that's the T and the respect method. So I'm teaching you a little from the front and the back and the middle method. But the T is, how do I know what my own intuition feels like it? How do I tap into it? Well, I teach people how to tap into it based on their type. And then when we work together in coach, we look more deeply into your chart and tell you really even more specific things to do to be able to tap into your own self and trust yourself, right? So to recap, energy types, generators, manifesting generators, yes, no questions, initiate and work, get the work done. Everybody else, you are a beer. You will burn out if you do not get enough rest. Those are the reflectors, the manifestors, and the projectors. And those are the people you can ask the open-ended question to. Now realize that's only 32% of the population, one-third of the population, less than one-third of the population that these open-ended type things work, all right? So it's just something to realize when you know about you from a spiritual design. Now I stayed just at the top level, just at the top level. Now think about if you knew what your partner is. You know, I just talked to you about how I interact with my husband to not get him totally pissed at me. Because if I just say, here's my opinion, blah, 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 we'll end up in a knockdown, drag out fight. We will. And I'll be like, what did I just do? I didn't get his acknowledgement that he recognized me.
Right.
And gave me the invitation. This is how energy works. Now let's talk about some famous couples, because what do you do in a couple? You put it together, you get a composite chart, and you can see how couples work, what their strengths are, and what their vulnerabilities are. So the idea is to figure out when you're having strife in your relationship, how to play towards the strengths of the relationship or the strengths of your partner versus the compromise in the relationship. So my favorite example is King Charles and his two wives. So King Charles was married to Diana, and they were what's called a 9-0 couple. It means that when you put them together, all their centers were defined. And that sounds like perfection, except there's other elements that make a difference in that. When you looked at their electromagnetic channels, they had only one. Those are the ones that give you the spark of the relationship. I got to be with this person. I got to be with this person. Ah! That's the reproductive imperative. They had one electromagnetic channel. When you go to the other side, they had a lot of compromise in their relationship. And only one of them had dominance in the relationship. So it just, even though they energetically met each other's needs from one point, when you look further down, you're like, I can see why they had trouble. Now, let me just tell you, Diana, we think about how we all love Diana and still love her. She's a projector. Now, projectors, they say, have a way of being and a magnetic aura. Think about Diana now. You just liked her. You just wanted to watch her. You don't even know what she said or did, but there was something about her that just was magnetic to everybody and made her loved. She didn't do anything, really, did she? No, but we loved her because of that. Now, let me tell you another projector in the royal family, Queen Elizabeth. She was a projector too. And think about, she was kind of the same way. Why did people love the queen so much? What did she do? What did she say? She has just that way of being, that energy. Now, I'll let you guess that Charles is not a projector. He is a generator, okay? He doesn't have that magnetic energy that his mother and his former wife had.
Right.
But then we bring in Queen Camilla. And Queen Camilla and King Charles are also a 9-0 couple. They fill each other's centers. So you're like, good, but you just told us about the bottom of the chart. So tell us about the bottom of the chart. They have seven electromagnetic channels. Those are the spark channels that really attract you to somebody. Seven, that's a lot. There were magnetized for you. Can walk, these are things you feel when you walk in a room and you can't even explain because you're energetically meeting somebody else's needs and they are meeting yours. That's Camilla and Charles. And then when you look at dominance channels, they're kind of equally split between the two. So one doesn't overrule the other and not a lot of compromise.
Right.
Now you're looking and if you look at both couples from a spiritual standpoint, you're going to definitely pick Camilla from a spiritual standpoint to be the partner of Charles. This has nothing to do with personality. This has nothing to do with who we like. when you put Charles and Camilla together, they smooth each other out in a way that works really well. Charles by himself works horribly. We already know that. You see, people didn't like him really. They deal even better with Camilla. They work well together because of this energy that we all can sense. Now, we're not going to talk about how Harry feels or how, you know, that's different because they have all this other stuff going on, right? You know, all those family stuff going on and their mother and everything like that. Now, let me just talk about like Harry and Meghan and at Al, okay? When you put Harry and Meghan together, they fill to each other's centers, but their root center is undefined, and the root center is where you deal with stress. They both have undefined root centers, which means they're both going to have a hard time dealing with stress. It's where the adrenals are. So even when you put them together, their root center is undefined. Hence, they needed to get out of where they were because they couldn't take all that energy and pressure on them. Hmm. But what made them deal with the pressure better? This is when you put together family systems. They had Archie. And guess what Archie did? When you put Meghan, Harry, and Archie together, all of a sudden that root center is filled. So that's why when Harry goes off to London, he runs back quickly because he's energetically fulfilled when he is with Meghan and Archie. And I didn't put Lilibet in here, but I just want to tell you, you know, here's why they were so unstable even when they were together. Even though they were glued together and they had the channels going on, there was still stress because they couldn't deal with it together for each other. Right. And then when they had the child, it was like, we're good. Right. So you can see how their energy has changed over the time from when they started. You know, they have the happy and the sparks flying. They got married, but then there was all the problems. And then they had a child. So what happened and how do you explain some of this? So I tell you this so that you can realize that part of what is going on with you is not just that imprinting or I like him. You have energetic attraction to people that makes you want to reproduce. I don't know if you have kids with your former husband, but there may have been some of that with there. No?
No, there was a strong desire to never have kids.
Oh, interesting. You know, what would be interesting with you is to do a chart with your former husband and to do one with your current husband so you could see the differences.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because we learn from these things because everybody we are in relationship with is one of our spiritual teachers, whether we admit it or not. And we will be in relationships with some of the people that are not so spiritual. We'll be like, they're my spiritual teacher, but they're not even spiritual.
Yeah.
That's why they're in your life.
Well, I learned lessons. I can for sure say that. It taught me a lot. Yeah. It wasn't lessons I wanted to learn, but very helpful lessons now with some hindsight.
Yeah. So when you're showing up in the relationship, you know, there's four people showing up in a relationship. There's who you're pretending to be, and you don't know you're pretending to be that. Who you're pretending to be and who you really are. And the other person is the same, who they're pretending to be and who they really are. And it takes a while to get to who you really are because you're following the imprinting and you're following what your parents have told you, what school has taught you, what society has taught you, what religion has taught you. You're following all these other rules that are not your own. So that's why when I work with people and I'm going through the respect method, the first E is for evaluate your beliefs, because you want to figure out, well, where did this come from? Is this my belief or is this somebody else's belief? You want to break it down to say, what do you believe and where did that belief come from? And a lot of times you're going to look at your beliefs and they definitely came from somebody else. What beliefs have you picked up yourself? And until you can be honest that you really didn't decide that, you cannot decide what you're going to keep and what you're going to throw away. So there's some things that you'll say, that's good and I want to keep it. But a lot of it, you're going to want to throw away and throw off because you're just like, this is not working for me. This is not functioning for me. And then you have to replace whatever it is. So it's important for you to learn how to trust yourself. And people say, how do you do to trust yourself? That's why I teach people about the S, surrender to your spirit. You learn what your human design is. You learn what your Colby is. So you can say, okay, this is who I am. And then you learn how to assess situations, energy, and people. And I can teach you how to do in blind intuitive readings, because we all have this ability. We all feel it. We just don't all have words for it. I think I had a feeling. I'm going to trust my gut. I'm going to teach you what part of your spiritual being is the part to trust, because that's where you're going to get the most reliable and accurate information. Then we're going to do some exercises where we actually test you at it. So you prove to yourself that intellectual side that needs the data, that you really know what you're doing and you're accurate, right? You gotta play to all parts of you. We gotta play to that intellectual mind, because you're gonna be saying this is all hog wild crazy. She is crazy, until we say, here's who you are. Is this true or not true? Is this resonating with you? If it's not resonating with you, we need to check all your birth data to make sure that everything's right. And then let's go back and talk about each little section. And just about everybody like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. You nailed it on the head. And, you know, a lot of times you want to get mad, because when we do human designs, it's so funny. Everybody has type envy. So when you find out whoever you are, you don't want to be that, right? You want to be something else. If you've been told you're, especially I know as a projector, I'm like, you mean I have so many good ideas and I know what's going on. I do as a guide. I'm what's called splenic too. That means that I have an intuitive knowing. I'm right wired. I have an intuitive knowing. I just know the answer. So besides being really a practicing intuitive, it's all in my design. I just know, but I can't tell you without you asking me. So I have to learn calm and patience. So guess what? That's what meditative practices are really good for you. It's really good to calm you down. And you realize that your time will come. It's all on a divine time and you can't rush anything and it'll come. So this is what I teach projectors. I'm like, you just got to learn to be patient. It's the hardest thing.
So hard. So we got just like a couple minutes left. I think we got to RES. What's the PECT?
Okay. P is for pause. That means to stop anything that's not working and take a rest. Take a break. Sometimes you have to take a relationship break, a job break. You have to stop and stop. E is to elevate your energy. And there are those low-lying emotions like fear, shame, guilt. This is where the scale of consciousness comes in. I work with you how to define what those are in your life, so that you can let them go. And then you can raise your vibrations, because people are like, they're not on my energy level. You're right. You got exactly what energy level you were on. So if you're looking at a relationship and you're with somebody that you don't like, that's the energy you were vibrating at. So if you want to get higher, we need to figure out how to let go of what's at the bottom. Okay. C is for commit to your values and boundaries. So this is when you put definition and words upon your values. And I actually give you long lists of them so you can start picking and narrowing down and talking about what it actually looks like for you. Not just the word, but how does that play out in your life? And then you can set boundaries and keep them because you actually know what they are. And then T is for trust and take action. That is when we really work on you learning how to trust you, which is when the step where I really start working on your intuition muscles and knowing how to use those really well. And take action. I say that because you have to learn how to step out in faith without evidence. That's why you got to trust yourself. How you learn is by going out there in the world. So all these people who say, I'm working on myself, I'm taking a break. You're not going to learn like that. It's not how we learn. We learn by doing and then getting feedback. Now, the feedback is what happens in the environment, but feedback can also be from a therapist or a coach or a teacher that helps you deconstruct whatever happens, right? So a lot of people are working on themselves and they keep getting it wrong and they don't have anybody pointing out, asking them good questions, because what coaches do is they ask you a question so you can get to the answer within you, because all the answers are in you, but they're blocked. You can't see them. They're blind spots. So a good coach is going to help you pull away the scab and the blind spots and get to the answer yourself.
Okay. Wow, you've really talked us through so much information. So we went through imprinting, instinct, intuition, and then like within each section, there's sections we've talked about respect. There's so much going on here. So that was like such a good introduction. There's parts where I was like, yeah, okay, I think that's me. And then there's parts now where I'm like, whoa, I forget what I thought was thinking was me before. I'm gonna have to go back and like re-listen and think about it. So I'm sure I'm not the only one that deeply resonated with some parts. Then we moved on and I was like, oh, now we're at the next part. And then I resonating again, then we're at the next part. So if people want to learn more, they're interested, they're resonating, where can they follow you, find you, learn more about you?
So drveronica.com, drveronica.com. And there is the ability on there to get a human design. And when we do the human designs for you, we send you back videos that explain your type and how to use it. So you can go and go on a site and get it, but you're going to get a chart. You're going to be like, okay, now what do I do with this? So when you get your chart, you will get your type and then you'll get the video that will speak directly to your type. So you will have an introduction on how do you actually use the material that you've gotten. I'm very practical about that. So on the site, there is a box you can click for that. You can also get a free Colby. I mean, Colbys have a cost to them and I give people them free because I want you to understand who you are. All right. And then I actually give people free debriefs so they know what to do. And you have the experience of getting your instincts and your intuition. So on drveronica.com, there is the ability to do that. But let me just tell you, you have only 5 minutes. I have a relationship quiz. There's a pop-up box. What's your number one relationship mistake? 38,000 people thus far have taken this quiz.
Oh, popular.
And it's pretty amazing and accurate. I got that from working with a lot of people. I saw these different types showing up, their personas. This is not something you're going to read in a textbook because it's something I got from downloaded from my intuition and observation. And you're going to be like, oh my God, how does she know? All right. And that's a stepping stone to get to the R of reflect, to see what you are doing to sabotage yourself.
An important step, getting to that R and reflect. Okay, so drveronica.com, we'll link that in the show notes. Well, this was super informative, very insightful. There's so much to learn here. So I just want to thank you for sharing your gifts, sharing your knowledge, taking your time to explain these and really, like you said, like some of it was shallow, but it felt like it, for someone that doesn't know a lot about kind of the spiritual side or the Colby, things like that. Like it was a really good overview where you're like, wow, okay, I'm interested. I'm curious what I am. So thank you so much for your knowledge today and sharing, yeah, your gifts. It was very much appreciated.
Thank you so much. And the final word is for people to learn who you are and then be it.
I love that. Learn who you are and be it. Fantastic message.
Thank you for tuning in to Relationship Psych, the podcast, put on by Ember Relationship Psychology. If you're looking for more free relationship help or advice that comes straight from the couples therapy room, check out the free resources and the blog at www.emberrelationshippsychology.com.